that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day. Thank you, Lord, for letting us be alive and to have the help to be able to come to church. And Lord, I thank you for those that are here. And I pray that you'd help each one of us now to be attentive, to focus our attention on the Word of God. Lord, help us to be mindful of the sacrifice that you made for our sins, how that you laid down your life willingly so that we could have eternal life as a free gift. And Lord, we do thank you for all the people through the years that have served our country, the ones that have given all so that we could have the freedoms we enjoy today. Lord, I ask that you continue to bless our military and please bless the leaders of our land. Please help our country. Lord, I love this country. I'm thankful to live in America. But Lord, our country is really in a mess spiritually. We need you so badly. We need to come back to you, and I pray, God, that you would help us as a people to come back to you. Lord, forgive me where I fail you, where I come so short of your glory, and I ask that you help me now as I try to preach, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as all of you know, tomorrow is Memorial Day, and Memorial Day is to be a time of remembrance, a time when we remember the men and women of our armed forces. More specifically, Memorial Day is about remembering the ones in the past who have laid down their lives in defense of our country. And personally, I want to express my gratitude for all of the people that serve in the forces of the United States of America. I appreciate each one. And in the past, I have had those that served or had family members that served stand and receive our recognition for their service. And I appreciate all of you here who have served and those that have family members that are serving or have served. But what I'd like to do this morning is have those stand, if we have any, and I think we do, who have a family member or a friend that lost their life in the service of our country. Is there anybody here that could stand? Brother Red? Miss Ruth? Okay. Anybody? Y'all stand up and stay standing for just a moment if you don't mind, those of you. Anybody else? You know a family member, a friend that lost their life serving our country? Anybody? Well, how about let's give these people a hand. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. I am extremely grateful. Personally, I have never been in the military. I've never served in that capacity. But there are countless thousands down through the years that have served and put their lives on the line and have given their lives in the defense of this country, so that people like myself and all of us here today could enjoy the freedoms that we have. And I thank God, I genuinely thank God for each and every one that has done that, and even those that continue to do so even now. But since tomorrow is a day when we are to remember our fallen heroes, people that I consider to be real heroes, I thought it would be appropriate if we remembered the greatest hero of all time. I thought it would be appropriate if we remembered the one who made the supreme and ultimate sacrifice, the one that willingly laid down his life for all of humanity, the one that laid down his life so that anyone and everyone could be free from the bondage of sin and spend eternity in heaven. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, he is my hero, the greatest hero to me of all time. I appreciate, as I said, so many that have laid down their lives, so many that have served and continue to serve. But ultimately, the Lord Jesus Christ is my hero above all. I know standing here today, I would be absolutely hopeless without the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd be destined to an eternity in the lake of fire were it not for the sacrifice of my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to take a little bit of time this morning just to concentrate on him and remember what he has done for us. And this is why, as you can see, we're going to have communion today. Because communion is about remembering the Lord Jesus Christ. Communion's not about observing some Baptist tradition like it's become in many of our churches today. It's not about just going through some religious motion or checking some religious box. Communion is an ordinance of the church, and it is for the purpose of remembering the Lord Jesus Christ. Take a look once again with me right here at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 24. First of all, Jesus says, these are his words, "This do in remembrance of me." Notice the last part of verse number 25. He says, "As oft as you drink it, this do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." Communion is about remembering the Lord Jesus Christ. And in communion, there are two main elements which are to remind us about our Savior. First of all, there's the bread. That bread is to be unleavened bread because it stands for the absolute perfection and sinlessness of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. But then there is the beverage, not only the bread, but the beverage, and that would be grape juice. In the Bible, they use new wine, and new wine, according to the Word of God, is the pure blood of the grape squeezed from the cluster. It's the purest grape juice that you can get on this earth, and that's what they used whenever the Lord instituted communion. And it represents the pure, spotless, untainted blood of Almighty God. That's what the juice represents. It's not fermented alcohol. It's just pure grape juice that represents the pure blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for a few minutes here, I want us to focus our attention on these two elements as we remember the Lord. Number one, I want to talk about the bread. Look here with me again at verses 23 and 24 and notice Paul says to the church in Corinth, he says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you." He says, "I have received of the Lord." So the Lord is the one that taught Paul about communion. He says, "I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you." So he passed on to the Corinthian Christians what the Lord gave him. And here is what he said, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, the exact same night that he was betrayed by Judas Iscariot, one of his original 12 apostles, and that was the night when him and his apostles were in an upper room, and they were there to celebrate the Passover. And after the Passover meal, the Lord Jesus instituted communion with his disciples. But on that same night when he was betrayed, the Bible says, Paul says, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he thanked his Father for the bread. He broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you." The bread represents the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice the Bible says he broke it. So he broke the bread, and he did that because that bread being broken represented the broken body. Not just the body, but the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that, he says, we are to remember. Notice verse 24. This do in remembrance of me. Anytime that we have communion and the bread is broke, we are to do that in remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, this is not about going through some religious motion. It's not about tradition. It's about something that you and I should hold in the highest esteem possible. The fact that the Lord Jesus Christ allowed his fleshly body to be broken. As we partake in communion this morning, as the bread is passed around and we break the bread, that's what needs to be in our mind. We need to be concentrating on the fact that Jesus Christ allowed his body to be broken. There's a couple of things I think we need to remember specifically about the broken body of the Lord Jesus. Number one, I think we ought to remember how it was broken. Amen? How it was broken. And I feel like most of you understand that the Lord Jesus Christ allowed his body to be broken in one of the most gruesome, painful, humiliating ways possible. He allowed his body to be ripped to shreds. He allowed himself to be brutalized so much that the Bible says his visage was so marred you could hardly recognize he was a man. This is how badly the Lord Jesus Christ was brutalized. And the thing that stands out to me again and again, this is what again and again is in my mind, is the fact that he allowed this to be done. The Bible says that he gave his back to the smiters. The Lord Jesus allowed this to be done. Nobody did this without his consent. He allowed people to do this to him. He gave his back to the smiters. He laid down his life and allowed his body to be brutalized. And here's the second thing that I think is as important, probably even more important, about the broken body of the Lord Jesus. Look here at verse 24 again. He says, take ye, this is my body which is broken. And I don't know what in the verse resonates the most with you, but this is what resonates the most with me. This is my body which is broken for you. That's what stands out the most. The fact that he allowed his body to be broken for me. I hope and pray with all of my heart that everyone in this building here today understands that you didn't deserve that. That should have been you, not him. That what you deserve, you understand? And I know this isn't real popular anymore in this modern day of humanism where we want to inflate man's ego and make man think so good of himself. But y'all know me well enough now. You know I'm kind of old school. More importantly, I'm biblical, okay? So I don't really care what people say about man anymore. I just want to stick my fingers down my throat and vomit. I get so sick and tired of how men are glorified, and especially the kind of men that are glorified nowadays. It just makes me sick to my stomach. I'm going to tell you what you deserve. I'm going to tell you what you deserve. You may not want to hear it. You might even get mad about it. But if you do, you'll get over it somewhere down the line. I'm going to tell you what you deserve. You deserve to burn in hell without any hope whatsoever for all eternity. That's what you deserve. You are a sinner, guilty before God. You've never done anything in your life to deserve what he did. You and I, all of us, deserve to burn in the lake of fire. But you know what he did? He let his body be brutalized so that I wouldn't have to burn in the lake of fire. The Lord did that for me. I didn't deserve that. If I live 20 billion years, I could never do anything to deserve something like that. I didn't deserve it. I still don't deserve it. But he did it. That's what grace is all about. Amen. Grace is about the Lord giving us what we don't deserve. I don't know why it is. I guess it's just wicked, depraved human nature. But for whatever reason, we tend to, even if it's just a little bit, think that it had a little something to do with us and how good we were that he did what he did. But the truth of the matter is it had nothing to do with you. There's nothing good in you now except him, and there never has been anything good in you or me or anybody else. The only good there is about me is Jesus Christ. There is none good but God, according to the Bible. If there's anything good about me, it's him. I never did anything. It wasn't that he looked down and he saw all of us down here on the earth and thought, you know, this one is special. They got this good about them, and they got that good about them, and this one has got this good and that good, so I believe I'll go down there and let myself be brutalized for them. That's not it. That's the way people think. Here's reality. He looked down and saw nothing good in any of us and knew that without coming down here and being the sacrifice for our sins, every one of us would rot in hell. That's what he saw when he looked down here. And that's why he came and allowed his body to be broken. It was broken for me. It was broken for you. The Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes, we are healed. You know why I'm healed today? You know why I'm whole spiritually? Because he allowed his body to be broken for me. By his stripes, I am healed. By his stripes, you are healed. The Bible says Christ died for our sins. He bare our sins in his own body. That's what this bread represents. When this thing gets passed around this morning, I just want to make a suggestion to you. If what we're going to do here in a little bit is nothing more to you than just some tradition and your mind's off somewhere else and you can't wait till we get out of service so you can go do something else, the best thing you can do is let that bread pass you on by. That's the best thing you can do. Because that bread being handed around here represents the broken body of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we need to remember. First of all, the bread. Here's the second thing. Not only the bread, but the beverage. I told you it's juice. Look at verse 25. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood." Thank God for the New Testament. I don't know about any of you, but I'm glad I live under the New Testament. For a whole lot of reasons. I mean, for a whole lot of reasons, I'm thankful I live under the New Testament. Do you understand that under the Old Testament, that if you had a child that was rebellious, that child was to be stoned to death? I wouldn't be here today if I lived under the Old Covenant. Many of you wouldn't be here either. Know what I mean? And do you know that there was a whole lot of stuff that I really enjoy eating that you couldn't eat under the old covenant? Y'all know that? A lot of dietary restrictions, things. I'm glad I live under the New Testament, friend. But most of all, I'm glad I live under the New Testament now because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ taking away my sins forever. The Bible says, Jesus says, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." The juice represents the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, his precious blood, his spotless blood that was shed for the sins of the world. Remember that through his blood we have redemption. It is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that we have been purchased, that we now are no longer our own, that we belong to him. We have been redeemed. We've been justified because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Justification is a legal term. It's where somebody that is guilty, there's no question about their guilt. They are guilty, but they're declared innocent. Do you know that's how it is with those of us who are saved? People who were guilty, there's no question about our guilt. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen? There's none righteous, no, not one. There's not a just man that liveth upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. We're all sinners. There's no question about our guilt, but because of the blood of Jesus Christ, I've been justified, declared innocent, been sanctified. To sanctify is to remove impurity. It cleans something up. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. We have forgiveness because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We have peace with God. We've been reconciled. No longer is there enmity between me and God. I actually have a relationship with Him. He's my Father. I'm His Son. We have a relationship. There's no longer enmity and hostility between me and God. I've been reconciled to Him through the blood of Jesus Christ. Have peace with God. Through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, my sins have been washed away. I mentioned that one reason why I'm happy I live under the New Testament is because my sins are gone. They've been taken away. Under the old covenant, all they had was a covering. Just a covering for sin. Those sacrifices, the things they did, it just provided a covering for their sin. It never took their sins away. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has washed my sins away for all eternity. That's why I don't have to worry about going to hell. That's why when I stand before the Lord, I don't have to worry about my sins condemning me to the lake of fire because my sins are gone. Judicially, I'm innocent. They're gone, washed away through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. As far as the east is from the west, they're all gone. Folks, what I'm talking about this morning is something to be happy about. It really is. It's amazing to me how dead we can be as Baptists. It's amazing how little something like this can mean to us. We have more reason to be happy than anybody else on this planet down here. More reason. And yet, for whatever reason, I can't figure it out. It seems like it doesn't even matter sometimes. Like this is so insignificant. Folks, we're talking about the greatest sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice, the supreme sacrifice. The fact that the Lord Jesus Christ allowed His body to be broken for us and shed His blood so that every one of us could be with Him forever. Now listen, I don't know what all you got going on in your life. This is what I do know. I know that every person in this building here today, including the fella doing the talking, has got something going on in their life. Everyone. And sometimes it's very easy to let the stuff that we have going on pull us down, steal our joy, get us focused on this life instead of focused on the next. But folks, no matter what we got going on, I'm serious as I can be when I say this, no matter what we have going on, we always have reason to be happy. We always have reason to have joy because here's the truth, folks. One day, all this mess we worried about right now is going to be over. Isn't that a blessing? All this mess that we're so caught up with now and the stuff we have going on in our lives, all one day it's going to be over and forever and ever and ever we're going to be in the presence of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what this communion is about, remembering what He did so that we could be with Him. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, thank You again for letting us be here today. Thank You for Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that came into this wicked, godless world and died in our place on the cross of Calvary. Thank You that He shed His precious blood to wash away our sins so we could have forgiveness. and be with you forever. Lord, as we have this time of communion, I pray that you would help each one of us to examine our hearts. Help it to be a special time where we genuinely and sincerely are grateful for the sacrifice that you made. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If I could get some help.